Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Coming up on today's episode, we look back at a dominant weekend for the Jets and the three-team logjam atop the Central Division.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, good to be back at it here. Hope you guys enjoyed your weekend as we begin to wrap up March. And we're pretty much at the start of the greatest time of the year on the sports calendar, which kicks off with March Madness, of course. And then we get some beautiful playoff action and then a little bit of MLB early season sprinkled in as well. So now's the time. I don't know what now the time is. That was just awesome. It's going to be a great time with the sports here. I don't really have anything to say other than that. But before we get to the beauty of it, we do have about, 14 games to go, 15 for the Winnipeg Jets, before we know what goes on in that postseason run. And breaking down the last couple of days in Jets land with me once again is CJOB's Tyson Rewicki. Tyson, how was the weekend? How are we doing today?
It was pretty good. The weekend was pretty good. Did you do anything for St. Paddy's Day?
Oh, I wish I could have, Tyson. Maybe a decade ago it might have been a possibility, but no, it was... Although I should say, not St. Patrick's related at all, I did enjoy a mighty fine supper, courtesy of the fine folks at Cilantro's.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Complete opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of cuisine. But yeah, for those that don't know, Cilantro's is an Indian restaurant here in Winnipeg. I think they have two locations. I'm not totally sure on that. But the big one is kind of in like the North Kildonan area. Or at least that's where the OG is. And yeah, they came to play. It was pretty legit. Every now and then I get like a major craving for Indian cuisine. And it just nailed it all on the head there. Samosas, outstanding. What else was there? I mean, the naan bread, oh my gosh. It might be the best naan in the city. And then everything else on top of it was just amazing. So I had a very untraditional St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, sometimes that's exactly what the Irish would do in that kind of situation.
Well, if they want flavor, they wouldn't be eating Irish food. I know that.
I'm not the biggest fan of St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it's overrated per se,
but it is.
You've got to pick and choose your spots. Like if the vibes are high and you're in the mood and you want to go out and go for it, then I think you're in a good spot. If you're just like, oh, I'll kind of tag along and go out, then it's going to be a terrible night.
If it's on it's got to be a Friday or a Saturday. They need to switch it.
It really does.
They need to switch it so it's not on the 17th every year and that it's on like the second Friday of every March.
I could get down with, we should let the under 30s decide because unfortunately I don't know if I'll partake in a St. Patty's Day ever again at this point. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, enough of that. Let's talk about some Winnipeg Jets action, Tyson. And really, we could probably do a 10-second episode on the past two games for the Jets. And it would just be titled, Very Good Team Beats the Living Crab Out of Two Very Bad Teams. That was pretty much what we saw for 120 minutes. But at the very least, the Jets do what they're supposed to do. They take advantage of what is, in a weird way, a almost critical must-win set there, because dropping any set of points to teams that far below you in the standings, it just kills you in the race for where the Jets are right now, top of the division there. So it was kind of like mandatory, but they did what they needed to do. And two non-competitive games and a few interesting things that maybe bubbled to the surface on a Winnipeg perspective in terms of what could be taken away from that moving forward in the next little bit. But blowout Anaheim, blowout Columbus, and now the Metro Division comes to town. What did you make of the two games there, Tice?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they did exactly what they were supposed to do, right? Like, I don't want to say anything less, because they did absolutely, they didn't play a great first period against Columbus, but kind of really put the pace on in the second. And in the first game, too, against Anaheim, I thought that one was a much more complete game. But that's kind of what you have to do at this point in the season. Like, if you want to be one of those upper echelon teams, you should be beating the likes of Dallas or Anaheim and Columbus, because as people who watched the two games could tell, both those teams are terrible. They are so bad, and they're at the point in the season where all those guys, like you've said it before on the podcast, Cancun on three, like all those guys are ready to go elsewhere other than the places that they're playing, especially guys in Columbus. I think that team really is looking forward to an offseason. Like they did what
they were looking to it, Tyson, before camp even got started.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably what sparked it. They looked through their pictures and saw someone had a trip planned for after the season, and then all hell broke loose. So, but in all seriousness, the Jets just did what they have to do, and you know, you kind of saw some nice progressions, some things to look forward to with this team. Most, in my opinion, most notably, the Monahan Ehlers Toffoli line. Like, that was, now that they're kind of starting to click a little bit now against some weaker teams, like, that's what you want. That's what these games are for in the season, when they're towards the end of the season and you're playing some bottom feeders. Get that confidence up, build that up to when the games are really going to start to matter, and they are starting to matter right now.
Well, they matter every game now, because unfortunately Dallas and Colorado just refuse to lose hockey games anymore, which is just outstanding. But yeah, I mean, that to me was the biggest, not a revelation necessarily, but the biggest kind of story to come out of those two games for the Jets is that, and I thought this was going to happen, and we'll see how it plays out moving forward, but to no surprise, Ehlers and Toffoli looked like a match made in heaven between the two of them. Which is funny, because Tyler Toffoli is very predictable in how he plays the game, and Nikolaj Ehlers is the exact opposite of how he goes about doing his business. But I mean, they were just on fire, and Toffoli, I think, you know, Toffoli is one of those guys, Tice, that I'll have to think of a proper term for it, but he could literally just be traded to any team in the NHL and fit in seamlessly from day one. Like, there's just no fuss with him whatsoever. His game is so transferable. It's something that every team in the league can use. And it was just, I mean, we knew it was a massive trade when the Jets made it. That what was it, 4 years, $6.25 million that we talked about last weekend? Yeah, I'm down. Sign me up for that. Aging curves be damned. Who cares? Just bring him in for as long as possible. It's pretty exciting to see. Because, you know, I guess just going back to the Monahan trade, even before the Toffoli one, 5-on-5, the second line, no matter who's been with Monahan, has not really done much, right? Monahan has rejuvenated the power play single-handedly, which is amazing. But 5-on-5, this team wasn't really getting a whole lot from the Monahan group. This clearly changes things in a big, big way now. If those three are able to continue this chemistry and the way that they're playing right now into the games, the final 15, and then into the postseason, it gives you a supercharged second line.
And then the hope being that Connor Schaefly, Velarde, assuming he's healthy and good to go, gives you a traditional top line that hopefully can break even or do a little bit better against the other opposition's best of the best there. So it's that to me is kind of the big tidbit out of the Anaheim Blue Jackets blowouts, is that if that's going to be your second line, they are going to feast come playoff time against lesser opposition. No doubt about it. Do I think that's the best way to go? Possibly not. But there's no doubt that that is going to be a dangerous trio if this weekend was any indication.
Yeah, no, 100%. And yeah, we'll see where it goes as the season boils down to it. And maybe there's some line shuffling going on. I mean, obviously, we haven't talked since the Velarde injuries, and hope that he gets back. You know, when he comes back, he takes the proper amount of time and really heals up from that, because that's scary. Like, it's just weird to hear one of your organs is enlarged bigger than the others than normal. Okay. Like, it's so, like, hopefully he gets everything gets good. But that's what makes that trade, that Toffoli trade, so big now. Like, imagine if they didn't have him and you were either trying to hope that Cole Perfetti can pick up the pace that he had earlier in the season, or you got to go roll with Vlad Namestnikov. Like, that's why being aggressive at the deadline in this situation, and thankfully Chevy was, and you're seeing the rewards that are coming from it. And even, I think that, kind of just veering away a little bit from the second line talk, though, like, I think that Colin Miller addition has been awesome, and that's really put a lot of, you know, it's kind of forced Schmidt and Stanley, who have gotten in these past two games, to really put on some solid performances. And I thought Nate Schmidt in particular has played two really, really solid games again over the weekend. And so now that you're looking at this team, the depth on defense is huge. Like, those, like that decor is deep. And if one guy gets hurt, you have Nate Schmidt to come fill in, who's proven to be a more than capable defender this year. And then up front, like, now you don't have to put Vlad Namestnikov up on the second line. Like, you have options, and now you just kind of have to hope that these guys get back healthy now. And maybe there's still a chance that Cole Perfetti takes some time off and then he gets some juice back after having an extended break. Like, who knows? But nothing happened in these two games that made me think any lesser of this team. Like, I'm not worried about any of their performances this past 2 weeks. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. And now it's time to bring on kind of a measuring stick game against the Rangers coming up. And I think the Jets match up really good against the Rangers.
Yeah, well, they're pretty similar, aren't they? Like, yeah. In terms of how they're composed, the two clubs. You know, superstar goalie, superstar defenseman with a D-core filled with some solid guys behind them. A top line that's questionable 5-on-5, and then some good scoring piece. Yeah, it's basically it's the Spider-Man meme, Tyson. Right? they're pointing at each other. It's the same club. So it definitely a measuring stick game. And like we touched on, you know, Colorado's got an easy, breezy next four games. They could potentially push their win streak to 10 very easily. And Dallas getting back on track as well. I just see two games with Arizona and then a shark logo in their next four. So, yeah, measuring stick, sure, but, like, measure it up with a W and then try to find a way to get a couple more against the Devils and the Islanders to close out the week there. Yeah, it's wild. I mean, that's kind of why I said it was like a must-win weekend for the Jets. Not because it says anything about who they are down the stretch. It's just... You're pretty much going to have to play, it feels like, 750 hockey the rest of the way through to grab that number one spot in the division there. That was another, you touched on it, another sort of talking point, but it seems like it came from the flu forcing it, but Stanley and Schmidt end up playing both games for the Jets on the weekend, and Sandberg and Miller, they get the hook. Specifically in game two, where it felt like they might be like healthy and ready to go. I'll agree with you, Schmidt. I mean, look, Nate Schmidt really has shown nothing to take him out of the lineup.
No, you're right.
But I understand acquiring Colin Miller, giving up some assets, wanting to see what he looks like beside Dylan Sandberg. I do get that. But Schmidt has been pretty good all year long. Stanley was good. He was good in the two games. A Stanimal blast, yep. A Stannin.
They shot off a cannon at Nationwide anyways after he scored.
No, I think the fans were looking around like, we're not supposed to let that off during play. And they're like, no, that was just the Stanimal. You just witnessed that in person. They played good. But having said that, I mean, Dylan Sandberg needs to be in the lineup every single game.
Yeah.
If you want to ice your best lineup, which I think as a coach you do, that involves Dylan Sandberg being your third pair left shot defenseman. Miller and Schmidt could be a pretty interesting discussion. I think, honestly, even though Miller is probably going to get the nod ahead of Schmidt, but you know, hopefully it was just, hey, we can give these guys the weekend off. Maybe they were a little sick, who knows? But I'd be surprised and confused and a little disappointed if we see Sandberg and Miller unnecessarily in the press box again against the Rangers.
If Sandberg scratched next game, then I'm done with Bones. I'm not even joking. Like, that would be, if I get it, I'm okay with the move over the weekend. I totally understand that. You go into the Rangers game and you don't put in Dylan Sandberg, then I don't know what Bones is doing. I have no idea what he's doing, and I have no faith in him to make proper lineup decisions come playoff time then. And that might sound harsh, but like that is just so out to left field. And I don't want to get too upset over something that might not even happen. But <Too late. laughs> but realistically, you're 100% right. Sandberg has to be in the lineup next game.
Yeah, well, we'll find out pretty quickly because the Rangers are in town on Tuesday night. And like we said, pretty important matchup for the Jets. New York battling for tops in the entire Eastern Conference right now. Hell, actually, never mind that, Tyson. 1 point off first in the entire NHL. So it's almost a bit of a mini President's Trophy affair going up against the Rangers in this one. So yeah, that's going to be a beauty of a matchup. Then things get a little bit easier with the Devils and Islanders on tap for the rest of the week for the Jets. Now, quickly, we'll wrap it up. We'll make it a bit of a short one here. Let's just take a look quickly. It's pretty ridiculous right now. I mean, the way the West is playing out, and, you know, Vancouver's on a bit of a slide. I mean, you look at the win-loss in the last 10 games for the Pacific Division, and it's pretty middling, to say the least. Outside of Edmonton, but man, the four hottest teams, the four best teams you could make the case might be in the Central in the Western Conference, with Nashville just grabbing regulation points or grabbing a point out of every game, it seems like here. The Jets fortunately have a game in hand on Colorado, two on Dallas for tops in the division, all three at 91 points. I think did we both agree that we think Colorado's the eventual division winner?
Yeah, I'm honestly.
Are you still on that, or are we thinking maybe Winnipeg's? I kind of feel like Dallas is. They're obviously going to be in the mix still, but with the games played at disadvantage for them, and they've just been so. I don't know. Not disappointing because they've got 91 points already. Ottinger being below average all season long. I don't know. I don't take them as dangerously as Colorado.
I haven't totally loved their game since their last game against the Jets. Like, I thought that after watching that game, it was like, oh boy, Dallas is going to be a problem. And then since then, they haven't really been able to maintain that level of dominance. They even had back-to-back against the Sharks, and I think they both went extra time. One of them was like 7-6. Like, whoa, who's giving up six goals to the Sharks? I mean, you're still winning, but still. Like, yeah, over the last little bit, I haven't really been too impressed with the Stars. And I feel like a lot of people come playoff time are going to realize that the Sean Walker trade by Colorado might be one of the most impactful deals made at the deadline or around the deadline this year. I mean, he's been awesome, and he's fitting like a glove with that team. And I gave him that room to add Casey Milsett, who I haven't been as impressed with, but maybe you give him a little bit more time to gel with the Avalanche and maybe just be a slow start. But I think Sean Walker is going to be a huge piece to this. And it's going to be a battle though, between the Jets and Avs the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. It really sucks. Colorado had a really, really good deadline. I just wanted to take a look at this. The Athletics season projections. Well. Dallas 110, Colorado 110, Winnipeg 109. So that is
it's good. What about Nashville?
Nashville at 99 points.
Okay.
With a 95% chance of making the playoffs. I think the reason, and this was what I was going to say before seeing these odds, although, I mean, them being a point ahead of the Jets, it's basically like a three-way coin flip. Dallas has an insanely easy schedule going down the stretch. Colorado's is pretty easy. The Jets, by far, of those three teams have the hardest final stretch of the season. So that sucks. And that's why I said the Jets might have to play 750 to get that number one spot in the division. Again, funny that we said this, and we'll close it on this, Tyson, here. We both wanted to see Laurent Brossoit get both games this weekend. He gets one. Shutout again. He's on absolute fire. He's white hot. Knowing how important all these games are, and I understand this sounds, you know, conflicting, I got to see LB get two of the next four games.
I agree.
I think you go Hellebuck against the Rangers, and then you've got a back-to-back. You got a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, a travel as well. I think you go Hellebuck against the Rangers, Brossoit against the Devils Thursday, Hellebuck against the Islanders Saturday, Brossoit against the Capitals Sunday.
I'm with you. No, nothing. I agree with you there. Like, that's, you have to. You got to give them a break. You can't, like, if you start going,
you know what? They don't really have a choice. Sorry, Tyson. The other thing, he's white hot.
Yeah.
Like, and this is nothing on Hellebuck. He's their best goalie. He's just so dialed in right now. And actually, like, I know the scoreline wouldn't suggest it was close or anything like that, and the game wasn't, but LB made a couple big saves against the Ducks. Like, it wasn't just, like, the Columbus game was just, like, the Blue Jackets are like, oh my gosh, we suck. But Anaheim was at least, like, a little feisty for a bit, and he was really, really good, I thought, in the game against the Ducks.
And he made some big saves in the third period, too, like that, against the Ducks, when it was still, like, not like you mentioned, it was, I guess, kind of close, but, I mean, but one goal changes the complexion of a game, and LB just didn't give the Ducks that opportunity to reverse the game.
Yep, yep. I would be pretty surprised. I didn't think they were going to do Brossoit in both games on the weekend. I'll be really surprised if they don't, for the next little bit even, basically alternate between the two. Because, I mean, maybe you give LB the start against Vegas again, but, like, you could go Helly Rangers, Brossoit Devils, Helly Islanders, Brossoit Capitals, Helly Oilers, Brossoit Golden Knights. And then from there, you have the capability to run Hellebuck a bunch. And you're definitely going to give Hellebuck the April 11th and 13th starts against the Stars and the Avalanche. And then maybe Brossoit gets that game against Seattle following that. But this is a great opportunity here for the Jets. Knowing both goalies are playing lights out, you get the best of both worlds. And Hellebuck isn't starting 60 games this season.
And you can kind of preserve Hellebuck's Vezina run right now. You keep running him into the ground, and he starts to have a couple stinkers, and, you know, maybe Bob sneaks up on him. Bob's not, I think a lot of people haven't given Bob a lot of credit for his play this year, but he's been fantastic too.
He has been sneaky good. Your Hall of Famer, Sergei Bobrovsky.
Better than Carey Price.
Well, hey, let's not start this. The episode is ending, and you want to throw a take quake. We can't allow this here. We'll have to stop. I'm stifling it right there. I'm putting a cap in it because this could turn into a 50-minute episode. Instead, we'll make it under 25 for you guys, and we'll send you out on your way to enjoy the rest of your week, and then we'll come back to wrap things up on Friday morning, looking at a pair of games for the Jets against the Metropolitan Division. But until then, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Skates and Plates here on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, with CJOB's Tyson Rewicki once again. Like I said, we're back at it on Friday morning, breaking down the Jets matchups against the Rangers and the Devils. Until then, enjoy the rest of your work week. Stay safe and have a good time, everybody. Talk to you Friday. Peace.